Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com. Did you know that half of America is single? Hollywood has never produced anything like this before. The Dating Project, a groundbreaking documentary that follows five single people, ages 18 to 40, as they search for authentic and meaningful relationships. There is no script. There are no actors. These are real people trying to find love and happiness in an age of swiping left or right. From Empower Pictures, Paulist Productions, Family Theater Productions, and PureFlix, you can now own The Dating Project. Save the date by visiting thedatingprojectmovie.com and go a step further and help others in your circle date differently by partnering with Ascension Press. Visit shop.ascensionpress.com to acquire the companion study guide. The Dating Project movie is now available on DVD and digital download on Amazon, iTunes, and Walmart. Please visit thedatingprojectmovie.com for details.
Well, howdy, everybody. This is John Michael Talbot. Do you ever feel like you got the Spirit, but it's just not really burning bright? Guess what? We're going to fan the Spirit of God into a full flame, into a roaring fire to build up hot coals in our life. Come back and join us. All things are possible with God. Well, howdy, everybody. Welcome back. This is John Michael. We are going through a series on the fire of God. And we've been looking at the process of building a fire. First, you got to get some kindling together. You got to kind of work at it. And when you get that fire going, it becomes a roaring fire. And then when it becomes a roaring fire, it begins to build up this hot ember, these hot coals that heat the whole house. Well, right now we are in the process of building that roaring fire. So we've been looking at the negative and the positive fire involved in the kindling. Discipline, asceticism, dealing with sin and righteousness and vice and virtue. And we've looked at some of the negative fires and how to overcome them. Now we want to, we've kind of got that straight. Now let's just look at how do we get the fire roaring in the house of our life. So St. Paul tells us in his second letter to Timothy, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, "For this reason I remind you to stir into flame the gift of God that you have through the imposition of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of love and self-control. So do not be ashamed of your testimony for the Lord." That word testimony comes from martyrion or martyrios. It's where we get the English word martyr. And I love what Pope Francis has been calling us just to a revolutionizing, not of the teaching of the church, not of orthodoxy, but how we actually live it. And the bishops are now saying, the time for comfortable Christianity is over. The time for comfortable Catholic Christianity is over. You cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. If you ever go out into public and kind of pull back from really giving your testimony, sharing your faith, guess what? They say, you are living in comfortable Christianity, comfortable Catholic Christianity, and the Pope is firing us up. He wants us to fire up the Spirit. So the word for stir into a flame, and keep in mind, the gift has already been given to Timothy. What is that? Well, some would say that was the gift of ordination, because in the early church they laid hands on those who would succeed them. And it could have also been the gift of baptism and what we now call confirmation, or what they call chrism. So you have to stir that up. The gift has been given, but you have to stir it up. And there's some wonderful words in Greek. This one's a bit of a tongue twister. I may even get this messed up. Anazopreo is the word in Greek. It means fan into a flame. Fan into a flame. Stir up. And it comes from a few words that are interesting. The first is pyre. Pyre, where we get a funeral pyre. It just means fire. So the word for fire in Greek is pyre, or pyr. The other is zoon, because it's anazopreo. So zoon means a living thing, a living creature. It comes from zoe. And ana means in the midst of. So fanning into a flame, we're fanning this fire into a living flame. And St. John of the Cross writes that wonderful treatise, the living flame of love. Wow. So we got to learn how to stir the fire of the Spirit. The fire of the Spirit. And by the way, 2 Timothy, this fan into a flame, is the name of a little booklet that was put out about operating in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of controversy in the non-Catholic world, Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal, mainline, marginal, about the different words that are used for how the Spirit functions in our life. We hear in some scriptures that the Spirit dwells within it, an indwelling in our house, in the house of our life, in the house of our soul. We hear, too, that we have to be filled with the Spirit. So some would say, well, everybody's indwelt, but not everybody is filled. We also hear about the baptism of the Spirit as being separate from water baptism. And then there's the debate with early Pentecostals and American Pentecostalism in the early 20th century on the initial evidence. Do you have to speak in tongues if you have the Spirit? We Catholics, we kind of look at these things and go, it's a mystery. Don't try to be so definitive in your theology. So we would say that the gifts of the Spirit, and the Spirit is already given to any baptized and confirmed Christian. So anybody who's baptized, anybody who has the sacrament of what we call chrism, in the Eastern Church, they do it right after baptism. In the Western Church, if they're baptized as kids, we do it later. But the confirmation is the sacrament of the Holy Spirit, that now we're going to get bang. We're going to get really on fire with the Spirit of God. But not everybody who's baptized and confirmed is on fire with the Spirit. So we have to learn how to stir up the Spirit of God. The word, the Spirit is already given in the Word of God. The Word is the Logos in Greek. And we heard earlier that the Logos, the Word, was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory. See, the Word became flesh. See, so the Word is the soul of the Father. So when we hear God's Word, we have the Spirit being given to us. The Spirit is given to us in community, because we become the body of Christ when the Spirit is in us, and we really only have the fullness of the Spirit when I'm open to what the Spirit is doing, not just in my life, but in your life too. See? So that's part of being Catholicos, Catholic, universal, full. We want the fullness of the body of Christ with two lungs, an Eastern lung and a Western lung, the church universal, the church universal. And the word is koinonia in Greek. It's where we get the Latin communio. It's where we get the English word communion. And it means common union. So we have a union with Christ, but we have a communion, a common union with Christ together. So the Spirit is given in many different ways. The Spirit is already given too in creation. The writer of the Imitation of Christ says that if you are holy within, all of creation becomes a book of holy and sacred doctrine, of teaching. St. Francis of Assisi, he says, all of creation is a ladder leading unto the throne of God. So we are helped by these things. So the Spirit is given to us in many ways. But here's the deal. The Spirit is given, but are we receiving the gift? See, look, here's my iPad with my Bible on it. Boom, I want to give you this gift. Well, if you don't reach back and grab it, bang, it falls to the ground. So, in order to receive the gifts of God, it's an action. So we have to learn how to stir up the Spirit of God in our life. My old spiritual father, Father Martin Walter, he's now deceased. He says the Spirit is like electricity that's in the walls. So the Spirit's already in the building. Elvis haven't left the building. The Spirit of God is in the building. But to get the electricity, you got to take the plug, bang, and plug it in. You can listen, if you have a DVD player or a CD player, you can watch these shows, you can listen to my music, but not if you don't plug it in. You have it, but you're not using it. So we have to learn how, don't we? How to plug the cord of our spiritual life into the socket so that the power in the walls, the power of the Spirit, the fire of God begins to really burn brightly in our life. So come back and join me in the second part. We're going to talk about some ways. We're going to be looking at praise and thanks and tongues and forgiveness and worship and praise and joy and how to stir up the Spirit. Come back. I'll see you soon.
Heal our wounds, our strength renew. On our dryness pour thy dew. Wash the stains of our guilt away. Bend our stubborn heart and will. Melt the frozen, warm the chill. Guide our steps when we go astray.
Sing with me now.
Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Veni Sancte Spiritus. Thank you.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome back. John Michael Talbot here. We're going to be talking about, okay, how do we stir up that Spirit of God? How do we get the fire into a roaring fire in the house of our life? Well, the first thing, and some of this is going to be a review of what we've talked about already, but you can't say it enough. Remember, repetition is the mother of learning. So the first thing, Psalm 100 says we enter His courts with songs of praise and thanksgiving. I will enter His courts with thanksgiving in my heart. See, or I will enter His gates. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Simple little song. We've been singing it for years, but it's true. So the first thing you got to do is learn how to praise God. Praise God. Take your hands. Raise them up. See, when you praise is a letting go of yourself. That is it's like a wave offering to God. Hands raised up. Raise them up. You're raising your hands. You're taking the old self and you're letting it go. That old self, it doesn't make you happy. In case you're taking notes, it probably doesn't make the people you live with very happy either. We can be grouchy things, can't we? So praise takes the old self, bang, and lifts it up with energy, with zeal. See? Wow. It's on fire. So praise is like that. Praise is like that. So praise and thanks. St. Paul says in Ephesians 5 to thank God always and, get this, for everything. Well, I want to praise God and thank God for the stuff in my life that obviously He's doing that's good. You know, that worked and that worked and that worked. I praise God. I thank God for that. That didn't work. That didn't work. That didn't work. And somebody did this to me. I'm not going to praise God for that. I'm not going to thank God for that. Well, St. Paul says, praise and thank God always and for everything. Because the scriptures also tell us that all things work together for the good of those who believe and have been called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean you're stupid. Doesn't mean you're going to be silly about this stuff. Bad stuff is bad stuff. So you own it. You can even say, hey, Lord, that really hurt. So you can say that. But you don't want to live there. You don't want to dwell there. You're going to stifle the work of the Spirit in your life if you do it. I promise. I know this from my own experience. I know this from life and community. See, so even the bad stuff in our life happens for a reason. And there is a lesson in everything and in everyone that comes into our life. And if we can learn to see that by faith, we'll be happy. We'll be set free. We will stir up the Spirit. The Spirit will begin to work in our life. We'll get that stream of the Spirit unclogged through the dunamis, the dynamite, the power of the Spirit, and the water will begin to flow. Wow. And streams of living water will burst forth from the desert of our life. See, that's what the work of the Spirit is all about. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There's successful people and unsuccessful people. There's happy ones and unhappy ones. It has nothing to do with how much money you make. Most of us are going to have successful and unsuccessful financial periods in our life. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not we're going to face crisis. We all face crisis. If you have moms and dads and brothers and sisters and spouses and kids and grandkids, it's going to happen. Life is tough. So the question isn't, are you going to face a crisis? The question is, how are we going to face that crisis? Are we going to face the crisis positively or negatively? Are we going to see the glass half full with possibilities, or half empty, and it's just going to get worse? That's all it's about, folks. Some of the most successful people I know in my life are the ones who have this attitude of gratitude. They're people that have become sometimes very rich. But you know how they approach that richness? They say, I don't own nothing. I don't own anything. I've given everything I have to Jesus. And they mean it. And because they give it joyfully, cheerfully, they don't grasp it. They don't hang on to it. Now the Spirit of God is working in their life, and their ministries become on fire and successful, and their secular life on fire, successful, and their families. They still deal with all the same stuff, but there's joy in their life, joy in their marriage, joy in their parenting, joy in being a son or a daughter. Wow. It makes all the spirit, all the difference to have the spirit stirred up. So, we also have to learn how to forgive. In Mark's gospel, Jesus tells us very clearly, he says that if you're going to see miracles and healing in your life, you got to have two things. You got to have faith and you got to have forgiveness. Say that with me. Faith and forgiveness. You only have faith with no forgiveness, boom, nothing. If you only have forgiveness and no faith, nothing. See? So faith is the substance, the hypostasis, the personification of things hoped for, of things not yet seen. So you stir up the spirit when you become a hopeful person. You don't look at what you don't have, you look at what's possible in your life. And so you look to heaven. It is possible. You look to the lives of the saints. It is possible. So you're bringing it. And the word perfection, by the way, teleos, it means to bring something from the future or to bring something from far away, like a telescope. It brings it into the now. So you got to have faith. You've got to expect a miracle. And then you have to have the humility to accept the miracle that he gives and the way he gives it. See, if all you do is expect and you don't accept, you're proud, you're presumptuous. If all you do is accept and you never expect, you're not going to see nothing. The other thing, he says you got to forgive your brothers and sisters. We talked about that in the last program on anger. So if you're not forgiving, guess what? It doesn't hurt them. It hurts you. When you forgive, you open up the streams of living water into the desert. So forgiveness, faith, and miracles, the miracle of the Spirit. The other thing, we have to prime the pump. Sometimes, you know, I don't want to praise God. I don't want to thank God. Things are crummy today. Don't you ever wake up and just go, oh my gosh, I don't know what happened to me today. You know, yeah, sure. Happens to all of us. Praising God, see, the liturgy of the hours starts the day with praise, what's called lauds. And we end thanking God in compline or night prayer. We begin in the end of the day, we begin and end the day with great thanksgiving and praise. So you don't do it by feelings, you do it by faith. It's priming the pump. But sometimes when I want to thank God and praise God, I start off, okay, Lord, I thank you, I praise you, you know, things are so good, and darn it, but things are so crummy. We can't get the brain, the thoughts, to get into the act. Tongues stirs up the power of the Spirit by bypassing the mind temporarily. We stir up the Spirit, and then the Spirit is like a big Brillo pad that cleans out all the crud in our thinking. And when that Spirit is stirred up, now we can begin to praise and thanks, give thanks to God again. Let's end with remembering that in the great cathedrals of the early church, some people say the Spirit died out. In St. Augustine's Cathedral, in St. John Chrysostom's Cathedral, they experienced jubilatio. They praised God. They thanked God so much that they could hear them praising God to the end of town, to the outskirts of the cities. and they brought people in to the church because of their praise, because of their thanks, because of their positivity. And they sang in tongues. It says they would sing without there being any written notes, without there being any lyrics, words. They would just sing vowel sounds. That singing in the Spirit. My mother became a Catholic because she went to a Catholic charismatic mass and heard the congregation singing in the Spirit. She turned to me and she says, Johnny, I don't know what this is, but it sounds like angels to me, and I want to be a part of it. She became a Catholic Christian. So, are we stirring up the Spirit today, folks? The living flame of love. If we have this roaring fire, it's impressive. And it will build up the next phase, which is the hot bed of coals of contemplation. All things are possible with God.
Breathe in the Spirit of Christ, the life of Jesus. Breathe out all that's not like Him. Breathe out your sin. Breathe in the being of God. Let go of your pride. Breathe out your old self. In Him, yourself, you'll find. Breathe in the healing of God.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.